This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. In recognition of the 25th anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act, signed into law on July 26, 1990, we continue our discussion of the ADA and look at its impact on the lives of individuals and families. Joining us are Dr. Kara Ayers, Advocacy Coordinator with the University of Cincinnati Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities, and Debbie Morehouse, Development Director with the Center for Independent Living Options and co-chair of the Cincinnati ADA 25th Anniversary Celebration Committee. You can join us at 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Debbie and Kara, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you for having us.
Kara, tell us about the work that the University Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities does and how it's making a difference for people with disabilities.
I'm very fortunate. I'm the advocacy coordinator for UCUSED. So I'm fortunate I have the ability to work, live, and play in disability, in the realm of disability. So we work on a number of issues, from improving transportation for people with disabilities to employment to helping people transition through the rough patches of going from childhood through young adulthood. And we work on a number of different disability issues in the city, state, and at a national level as well.
How did you become involved with the center?
I had always intended to move back to Cincinnati. This is kind of my passion and where I wanted to start my family. So when I came back after finishing my PhD in psychology with an emphasis on research around disability, I became acquainted with the UCUSED and our Community Advisory Council. And so that was kind of my first introduction. And then it was just a dream of mine. I'd always done advocacy on the side as kind of my night job. And I found out quickly when I became a mother that your night job is fulfilled with that. So it's really been a dream come true that I'm able to do what I love during the day and the night. So.
Debbie, tell us about the Center for Independent Living Options.
We are known across the city as CILO, C-I-L-O. We have been in the city for about 38 years.
You're the oldest organization of your type, aren't you?
We are. In the state of Ohio, we are. And we are unique in the fact that we provide services to people with permanent disabilities that include cognitive, psychological, sensory, and physical. And more than 50% of our staff has a disability, as well as our board. So we are intimately involved in the disability world, and we are the best advocates for the people that we serve.
What kind of impact have you had for people with disabilities locally? Have you been pretty successful at this?
Absolutely. We do a variety of services. The majority of people that come to us are experiencing homelessness. So one of the first things we do is get them into permanent housing so that they can stabilize and learn to be self-sufficient through our employment programs, our independent living skill programs. And we organize their benefits for them so that they can eventually reach their level of independence.
And now, how many people are affected by disability in the United States? Any ideas on that?
There's probably a varying.
I've seen 1 in 5. Does that sound?
Right. That's probably about right.
Okay. And whether we like to think about this or not, many of us, disability is something that can happen to anybody. I mean, it's not
correct.
Something that necessarily that you're born with. It can mm-hmm. happen to you at any point in your
exactly.
life. And a lot of us won't our lifetime.
Right. I think that's why it's so difficult to put a number on that, because not only is a statistic of how many Americans with disabilities important, but also how many people are touched by disability in a different way, by being a caregiver or a loved one or a parent or a coworker. So I think that number is one that is the most important, perhaps, because when you factor in all those connections, it's nearly everyone.
What was life like for people with a disability before the ADA came along, Debbie?
I'm aware of institutionalization. I am a parent of a young lady with Down syndrome. She is 25. So certainly historically, she would have been sent to an institution immediately after birth. So people were not given opportunities. They were put at the end of the hallway in schools. They had a special classroom. They were not welcome in social events or restaurants, entertainment venues. So I think we've evolved, and certainly someone made the comment recently that they think that there's more people with disabilities than there used to be. But that's not true at all. People are part of the community now. They're being included. So we're seeing them. They're not being sheltered.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. And let's talk with Amy in Loveland. Good afternoon, Amy.
Hi. I have a quick question for Kara, if I could.
Okay.
And my question is, can you tell us a little bit about how you said advocates on behalf of people with disabilities? Do you work with the local government?
We do, Amy. So we have a number of initiatives here in the local City of Cincinnati area. A specific one that we've most recently partnered with Real Abilities, a film festival that was a big hit in the city a few months ago. And an initiative that's grown out of that is called Insights on Inclusion. And so we have a partnership with the Chamber of Commerce that we are just starting but are really excited about promoting employment for people with disabilities in the city. So the how behind we would do that is a number of programs, and what they all have in common is that we put people with disabilities and their voices in the forefront, because we believe strongly that they, and myself as a person with a disability, are the best advocates for making our lives the way that we would like them to be. So, and we do a number of things on a state level too. We just wrapped up a lot of work around the budget, and we're excited that that is done with and ready to move forward.
513-419-7100 to join the conversation. And Amy, thank you for the phone call. Debbie, how does the Cincinnati area do at providing resources for people with disabilities?
I think we're an excellent resource for anyone that would need a referral or an advocate. There's so many agencies that are collaborating to make sure that someone has wraparound services and receives all of the supports they need to become stabilized, self-sufficient, and productive.
Now, Kara, you've reached the one-year anniversary of something really, really special. That was when you and your husband adopted your son, Eli, and you brought him home from China. Mm-hmm. Now, Eli has dwarfism, which mm-hmm. is the same disability that you and your husband have. Now, what led you to adopt Eli?
I think my husband and I were both interested in adoption, even as children, and maybe that's because we didn't have models of other parents with disabilities. We weren't even sure. I know I didn't have a role model or anyone that I knew that had ever had a biological child, a woman with my disability that had a biological child, but I knew I wanted that family. And we actually did have our child biologically, Hannah. She's 5 years old, but that interest in adoption still stood in both of our minds. And we know that people with disabilities across the world have a very different experience outside of our country. And so I was pulled to China, where growing up with a disability and even adults with a disability, they don't have the opportunity to work, to get a job, to get married. So even though we had kind of started our family, that interest was still there. And we wanted to bring Eli home and give him the opportunities that we have. And I think it's a perfect timing for the celebration. We just celebrated his 1 year family day, Gotcha Day, yesterday. And it's interesting that it's kind of in concordance with the ADA anniversary, because he has so many opportunities now as an American with a disability. And it's something that our family is proud to celebrate.
Yeah, Carrie Cochran with the Inquirer did just an absolutely beautiful video about you and your family that's going to be appearing on Cincinnati.com. Sunday, and we get to meet Eli, and we get to meet your husband, and we get to meet Hannah.
Yes.
It's a very touching video. Now, Hannah was born without disability, despite the fact that the odds were quite high that she mm-hmm. could have been.
Yeah.
Does having both of her parents with a disability and then her brother, does this give her a different view of disability?
I think it does. She doesn't see disability in a negative way at all. So she gets so excited when she sees someone else with a disability out in public, and she recognizes that similarity. Our family views disability as a culture, and although she doesn't have a disability, she still shares that bit of culture. You know, we enjoy books about disability, and we have lots of friends who have disabilities. So she recognizes, she just turned 5, and she already recognizes architectural barriers in terms of, if she sees a set of stairs, she'll let me know, oh, Mom, let's find the ramp. And so I think that she is well positioned in this world to realize that diversity is a good thing, and I think it'll make her a stronger person.
And how is Eli doing?
He's doing great.
Is he doing well adapting to his new home?
He turned 8 in May, so, you know, this was the first time for him to go to school. Even within his orphanage, due to his specific disability, he has achondroplasia, is his type of dwarfism. He wasn't allowed to go to the school even in the orphanage because of their kind of beliefs that he would bring the school children bad luck. So he started first grade this year and has learned English and plays baseball with Miracle League. So he's doing even better than we dreamed.
What was it? Was it tough doing an international adoption?
It was challenging. What's sometimes surprising to people is that for parents with disabilities, the route to international adoption is somewhat smoother than even many domestic challenges here. So that's an example of one of the many things that we still need to work harder on in our own country. But it was challenging. We needed to work with both the system of the Chinese government as well as the U.S. government to let them know that my husband and I, we both have disabilities, but we're very capable parents.
Yeah. Do you think the Americans with Disabilities Act has helped you in getting your family going and made it possible to do some things that you, otherwise you might not have been able to do?
Oh, most definitely. From paving the way to our educations I remember small things like renting apartments, going to college, the right for me to pay to build my own ramp to get into that apartment. There's been a few times that we've had to remind people that weren't aware of the ADA. I sometimes see it as giving people that extra boost or motivation, because oftentimes people don't exclude people with disabilities out of meanness. Many times it's because of fear or because they just aren't yet willing to problem solve or find a creative solution. And sometimes the ADA has given me the confidence that I've needed to help people problem solve so that I can be a part of what I need to be a part of.
Can you give us a few examples of everyday problems that people who are, say they're in a wheelchair, problems mm-hmm. they face that most of us might not even think about or might not even realize?
I think, transportation is a huge, huge issue. In this city and across the country, I'm very fortunate to be able to drive my own van with some modifications. But even small things like parking, making sure that I have enough room to get my wheelchair out and to get the kids safely out with my wheelchair. Employment is an issue that once really you get into the door in terms of employers are educated that people with disabilities actually strengthen a workforce, according to research, then many times, as the previous guest talked about, small accommodations can make such a big difference. So it's really, I think, at this point in history, we're moving past that architectural barriers like curbs and doorways and things like that aren't our biggest problems. It's more the attitudes that we're still working on. And the ADA has got us started in that, and then we need to keep pushing forward.
And Debbie, what kind of doors has the ADA opened for people with disabilities?
I think the fact that it has allowed them to be socially and economically involved in their community. I think it's given them an opportunity to be on a level playing field and to have those same inclusions and empowerments that other people are experiencing. And I think that's it's created a more welcoming community.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that even with the passing of the ADA, though, that we still have a situation where the general awareness about people with disabilities is still isn't where it could be? Kara was talking about that. Is that still the case?
Oh, absolutely. Especially people who do not have a visible disability. And that would be usually someone with a cognitive disability or a psychological disability. If you can't see the disability, people may assume things about that person that are incorrect. So, yeah, I think this is an opportunity for people to understand what disability actually encompasses.
513-419-7100. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can also email talk@wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Kara, from your perspective, do you think there a lot more can be done to raise people's awareness about disabilities?
I definitely think we have more work to do. I'm not sure sometimes if it's about awareness or if it's about exposure to what's already happening. Sometimes people just haven't, as I mentioned as a child, I just didn't have a model. I didn't have a person that I could say, oh, I know this person who became a mother with osteogenesis imperfecta. That's my disability. So sometimes, we already have great examples of things that are working in our community. And sometimes it takes learning from those and kind of that's that way of spreading awareness. Just more so, I think, than sometimes people can become overwhelmed that they need to know, symptoms about disability. And as I've kind of moved along in my advocacy career, I've realized that it's much less about individual diagnoses and more so about just a general value for diversity and what it brings to our schools and to our workplaces. And so don't worry yourself with understanding the intricacies of, specific disabilities as much as let's figure out how we can all be at that table and all be a part of the process.
Debbie, did you want to add to that?
I don't want to jump ahead, but that's exactly what our ADA celebration coming up on Monday is about.
Well, tell us about that. That's the 27th?
It is the 27th. Exciting. We've been working at this project for over a year, probably a good 35 to 45 different agencies and advocates across the community have been meeting regularly to create this celebratory event that will take place on Monday at Fountain Square. We have an onstage program from 11:30 to 1:30, but we'll be there from 10 to 2. And it's being preempted by a the first inaugural Disability Pride March for Cincinnati, which will start at City Hall with a proclamation being read, and then about a half-mile walk over to Fountain Square to celebrate. And it's really a message about saying, you know, we have disabilities, we're okay. You know, let us in, we're okay.
And who are the guests going to be at that?
Our guests are Eric Kearney is our MC for the day. We will also have Councilman Kevin Flynn on stage reading the City of Cincinnati Proclamation again for the people who were not at City Hall. And Chip Gerhart from Government Strategies will be on stage actually talking about the ABLE Act and his participation in getting that moved through. And we will also have Miss Ohio, Miss Wheelchair Ohio, Amanda Young, will be speaking.
Now, you were talking about getting the message out that we might have disabilities, but, you know, we're still people.
Yeah, we're still people.
That's an important message, isn't it? I think, and I think that even in your family, Kara, that's how you look at it. We might have disabilities, but that doesn't mean that we don't have lots of opportunities and possibilities in our life.
Right, and I think even more so, we look at disability brings challenge to your life, but it also brings a unique source of resilience. And so disability is not something that I've overcome. It's something that I'm proud of, and I've identified as part of who I am, and I wouldn't be the person I am today without my disability.
Is your daughter embracing that same kind of thinking, that it's about possibilities, not about disabilities?
Definitely, yeah. We joke in our house because I'm a bit passionate about an area of disability advocacy that kind of counters against what's called inspiration porn, which is the idea that people with disabilities are inspirational just for kind of being. So sometimes when I go to the grocery store, I'm told I'm inspiring someone. I'm getting a gallon of milk out of the freezer, and they don't know anything about me. I could be a terrible person, but
well, you're not.
But right, but
they don't know.
Right, so I kind of counter those messages of what I call inspiration for no reason. You know, people with disabilities can be inspiring, but we need to earn that by doing something inspirational. So my friends and family think it's pretty funny that my daughter, she calls people with disabilities, she says they have possibilities, which is a little along kind of that inspirational line usually, but she reminds me that she says it with such sincerity, and that's how she views the world.
Well, Kara, a lot of people who encounter someone with a disability, someone in a wheelchair, they may mean well, but they don't quite know how to interact without offending the person.
Right.
So what's your advice?
Oh, there's been a great movement kind of, and it's ramped up in association with the ADA 25 called In the Awkward. And it's a fun hashtag that you can find on Twitter. And there's some great pieces about, you know, really it's sometimes just about people feeling awkward and just push through that awkwardness. If you come up to someone and you realize that, you know, they have an arm amputation, still reach your hand out and shake their hand just as you would anyone else. You know, if you see me coming up to a door and you'd like to open the door for me, you know, ask me if I need some help and I'll give you a sincere answer. You know, sometimes my hands are full like any other busy mom or person walking into their workplace, and I'll say, sure, that'd be great. Other times I say, I got it, and it's fine. So sometimes it's just pushing through that awkward.
So am I thinking right? Just treat you as a person.
Right.
With the kindness you would extend to any other person.
Right. And if you feel a bit awkward, it's not the end of the world. Push through that, because inclusion is more important than that couple of seconds that we might not know what to do.
Debbie, what advice would you have?
Along the same lines, and the event itself, we've targeted three concepts: inspire, empower, and include. And it doesn't mean that people in wheelchairs will inspire me. Like Kara said, if they do something special that is really uplifting for the community, that's an inspiration. But we need to inspire, empower, and include each other, regardless of the disability, because the ADA really does impact people both with and without disabilities, and it creates a better and closer community.
So how do we build on what the ADA has started? What kinds of things would you like to see happen to help people with disabilities?
We have a number of policies that still need improvement. I know the first half was kind of dedicated to legalese and to policies, but we at UCUSET are still working on those. And also from a cultural perspective, I mean, there are events that the disability community holds that are excellent and shouldn't be exclusive to our community. So I think keeping up with those events in your community and recognizing that we're an important part that should be included at every facet. So I know just locally, if you're interested in maybe exposing your kids to more people with disabilities, or you yourself joining in on either policy advocacy or events, the ADA 25 is a great way to get started on Monday down at Fountain Square. And then after that as well, at UC, you said we have a Facebook page, UCUCEDD, as well as a website, UCUCED.org. And we try to keep the pulse on what's happening here in Cincinnati and Ohio as well, related to the disability community.
Debbie, what would you like to see happen to advance it, keep this momentum going that we have from the ADA?
I think we stand a lot of room for improvement in transportation for people with disabilities. Okay. That's one of the biggest barriers we touch on. And employment. People with disabilities do want to work. They're capable of being productive. They may take a little bit longer to train. They may need a little bit more support. But they want to become self-sufficient. They don't want to stay home and be treated in a certain way because of their disability. They do want to be a participating member of the community.
So one more time, give us the time, place, information on that, on the ADA 25 anniversary.
The Disability Pride March will begin at 9:30 from City Hall, half a mile over to Fountain Square, where the festivities will be from 10 to 2 with an onstage program from 11:30 to 1:30.
Okay, well, thank you for joining us this afternoon. Dr. Kara Ayers is Advocacy Coordinator with the University of Cincinnati Center for Excellence in Developmental Disabilities, and Debbie Morehouse, who is Development Director with the Center for Independent Living Options and also the co-chair of the Cincinnati ADA 25th Anniversary Celebration Committee. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. Archives of our program are available at WVXU.org. Today's program was produced by Pete Reitmeier. The technical director was Kevin Rawinski. I'm Mark Haney. Stay tuned for Here and Now next on 91.7 WVXU. Women who serve in our military and their families face a variety of challenges in their lives during active duty time and after service members return from deployment and get back into more normal routines. On the next Cincinnati Edition, we'll discuss helping members of our armed forces, veterans, and their families with the physical and mental issues that can result from military service. That's Cincinnati Edition, Thursday afternoon at 1 on 91.7 WVXU.